and welcome to the podcast where you will heal the relationship with yourself, unlearn the limiting beliefs that tell you it's better to blend in than stand out, and realize that you are more than enough. You are incredible. I am your host, Susan Padron, an intuitive personal stylist and award-winning author featured in InStyle and many publications accessible all over the world. I am a tattooed queer mom who is showing up to give you the gentle nudge or emotional hug, whichever you need, so that you can give yourself the permission to be you. This is the Susan Padron Podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Susan Padron Podcast. Today, I am joined by the amazing Candace Taylor. And Candace describes herself as a cartwheel enthusiast, the human form of glitter and multi-passionate dream doula. She lives in New York City, but has lived all over the world, from Boston to Nicaragua to San Diego. Her work exists at the intersection of creative consulting, plus artistry, plus life coaching, plus health and wellness. Candace empowers modern-day revolutionaries and culture disruptors to transform the world with their unique magic and creations without sacrificing their mental, emotional, and physical health and wealth. Candace, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so thrilled to have you here today.
Wow. I just like need you to announce everything in my life from now on. That is so wonderful. I'm like, that's me?
What is you? And so much more. That's you in like a very brief little bio. But I mean, going beyond that, like I love your description of yourself, because truly, for all of you that are going to follow Candace, if not immediately, right after this recording, this episode, you are going to see for yourself. I mean, she truly is the human form of glitter. Like, I love that, as well as being so talented and all of the skills and services that you offer. You just bring so much joy, so much natural joy that just radiates from your being. And I love following you, talking with you for, you know, that reason. You're just so joyous.
My heart is so full right now.
Oh, well, I'm honored to have you here, truly. So I know we were talking a little bit about this before we started recording, but I love your title as a dream doula. I think it's so fascinating. It's so unique. And I know sometimes, especially in the entrepreneurial world, you know, some people come up with titles and you're like, wait, what is that? Because sometimes it sounds like fluffy and weird. But dream doula, it's clear, it's concise, while also being really like whimsical. And I love it. How did you come up with that title? Can you explain to, you know, our audience what that means and just what the inspiration for it was?
Absolutely. This is a beautiful story, and it has cycles to it, which is a part of how I just craft my life. Like, I pay attention to the cycles of my journey. So I always get excited when I get to share a little bit about it. But the first layer was, I love to travel, and I went to a friend's wedding in Israel and got to connect with so many different, you know, friends of friends of friends while I was there. And one of the individuals that I met shared with me what a doula was. And I was like, this is some potent work, right? And she shared it with me from the standpoint of both birth doula work. So the individual that helps a, not just the birthing person, but a family navigate the whole journey of pregnancy through the safe birthing journey, through the integration of that individual, that new individual, new life into the family, right? And I was so struck by that holistic journey of creation, right? Yeah. How do you navigate your sense of empowerment while you create something, while you help usher it into the world, and while you help like really integrate it into its new life, but also into your new life? Yeah. That just, I was like, yes. Is so amazing. And then she also shared with me death doula work, where, you know, someone who is transitioning out of this lived experience, how do they find peace? How do they find fulfillment in that journey? And then also, how do you comfort the individuals that they're leaving behind, at least in the physical standpoint? And I was like, yes, I love that work. Yes, I'm already doing that work. It gave me language for how I was approaching my coaching, how I was approaching just like my general relationships, and how I was showing up for others. And so I knew that I had an attachment to that term. And so I started researching and I was like, I'm going to get certified, and I still haven't done that. But my whole plan was to actually become a doula, to become a birth and death doula. And I was like, and that's still on my vision board. That will happen. I know that's a part of my story, but I mostly got intrigued by the frameworks, particularly because, you know, as a Black woman, there are very few Black doulas.
Yeah.
And so one being a representation for this type of work and the, and like the framework, the integrity of like the meaning behind it and the intention behind it, I was like, more women need this, more non-binary people need this, more BIPOC people need this, and they deserve it in a relationship with someone who shares identity with them. So that was part of it. And then I was like, oh, I'm doing this with people's dreams, the things that's most important to them. And an iteration of this has been, or like a, the new cycle of this is, I've been having a spiritual development and psychic development journey.
Wow.
And I've realized, or I've learned, one of my gifts is connecting to people's wisdom through dreams. This is something that like a mentor or coach is helping me discover. And I'm like, oh, I never knew that was happening, but I also kind of knew that was happening. she was like, yeah, like spirit is underlining, circling, amplifying dream like that. There's something significant there. And it just connected with my life on so many levels. You know, growing up Christian biblically, Joseph has always been one of the characters that I related to. I connect with all the rebels in the Bible, all the people that are like disrupting shit, right? I'm like, yes. Jesus, Joseph, the ones who are flipping tables. Those are my people.
I love it.
And Joseph had a huge connection with dreams and being able to predict things and see things and see wisdom through dreams. So I'm actually diving into this new layer and like rediscovering this title in a whole new way, which is incredible.
Oh my gosh, you just got me so excited. I literally like got goosebumps when you're talking about connecting with people through their dreams. Like, oh my gosh. Now I'm like, okay, we're going to pivot real quick. I'm just going to go on a little side tangent here because that's so freaking cool. I consider myself like very spiritual and having a lot of connection with my own spiritual gifts and quite a bit of knowledge about other spiritual gifts, but connecting with people through their dreams while also being a coach, my mind is blown and I'm so excited about it. So how did you discover it? How do you incorporate that? I want to know everything.
How did I discover this? It's one of those things that has been a thread line of my whole life. I've always been very spiritually, I call it spiritually saturated. I hear things that are not being said, and I see things that are not visibly there, and I feel things that like extend beyond the realms of like my physical body.
Yeah.
I just didn't have language for it. And I think this comes from, right, like I wear my Black identity and my BIPOC identity, and I explore that so much because I understand how the structures around us inhibit us from, you know, tapping into ancestral legacy, make it difficult for us to explore things that we are innately gifted with that don't line up with the status quo and don't line up with liberation and full empowerment. And so, yeah, I've always been able to do this stuff, but I'm now reclaiming, and like part of my life's work is to revolutionize the industries that I'm a part of and help my clients revolutionize their industries and revolutionize the way that we live life, experience those paradigm shifts and find comfort in the like, the challenge of it all, the difficulty of it all. Like we don't have to win people over. We can just find the people that are already aligned with us and be anti-status quo humans and be like, well, you'll catch up eventually, person who doesn't. doesn't align with where I'm at right now. Like that is part of my mission. And so I think not only am I helping other people do that and making sure that I'm supporting other people to that, I'm living that myself. So I sought out a psychic development mentor and someone who could walk me through, you know, a process of self-acceptance, walk me through an exploration. Part, like the first part of my framework is self-discovery and self-intimacy through self-exploration, right? Like that's what I guide my clients through. And so I sought out somebody who would help me do that for myself within this world realm of like psychic development and spirituality.
Yeah. Oh, and I think that's such an important point that you bring up too, is even as somebody who describes themselves as spiritually saturated, you know, somebody who's always been able to do these things, you still make the point to find a mentor that can really help you to really hone in on those gifts and do more of that self-discovery. Because, you know, I'm someone who also, I think like a lot of us, had some spiritual gifts since I was young, but it took me probably like really until I was in my 30s or like late 20s before I was ready to say, okay, I need help developing this and having control over it, understanding it, all of that, and finding the right mentors to kind of guide you through that process. Because I was, I liked that I had these abilities. But there's also a lot of discomfort that kind of comes from it too, because I don't know if you experience this as well, but for a long time, I feel like I would just kind of get not quite blindsided by things, but I had no control over the downloads that I would receive and who they would be for, or, you know, what I should do or not do about that information and all of that. And when I started working one-on-one with clients more, that's when it started to become a little bit more specific and about my clients. But even then, I was like, ooh, I want to have more comfort with this. I want this to be a partnership, like a relationship, rather than a reflex that, you know, just happens when it happens. Would you say that that's kind of similar to your development and experience as well?
100%. And I think, you know, it like, it makes me think one of my core values is interdependence, because I feel like we as a society have gotten so far into that like hyper independence and the lone wolf mentality and energy. Wow. And like that is innately anti-human, right? We like the humans of yesteryear knew being in community was like the safest bet. It's why when we're alone, loneliness feels so like, you know, suffocating, because biologically it represented death, right? Like being isolated from community was the equivalent of dying. And that is still in our biology. And I think sometimes in my spiritual like journey, obviously we have to go through life alone in certain elements and certain layers of our experience, right? Like you're the only one who will experience the world and life the way that you will. But inviting someone in to navigate that with and to be in communion and like also just find the joy in it. Like when I get to jump on the phone with some of my witchy friends and when I get to, you know, like have conversations with the psychic mentor and highlight the synchronicities and showcase the beautiful divine things that are happening in my life, it just like overwhelms me with joy. And makes me feel so much more gratitude. So I absolutely love being able to be interdependent in this journey, because it also helps. Like I was telling my mentor the other day, I'm collapsing time. But like I'm making things happen in my life so much faster because I'm not working on my own, right? Like I'm having relationships feed me as much as I'm feeding, you know, others, right? So yes, 100%.
Yeah. You know, I think that I know from, again, from like my own experience, again, there's, I think, a phase that a lot of us can go through where we feel like we have to prove that we can do something on our own. You know, it's like, oh, well, if I can do it on my own, if I can do it by myself, then that means that I have this amount of strength. And the lesson that I learned from that was that it also takes a lot of strength to ask for help and to find the other people in your life that can support you in this journey. And asking for help is not a sign of weakness at all. and you can be so empowered and, like you said, collapse time, you know, when you develop these very intentional relationships. That doesn't mean asking for help from like everybody in your life, because not everyone's going to be able to fill that role that you need. But, you know, seeking out the right spiritual mentor, the right coach, the right people to build your team, even the right clients, and having that really matched level of an energetic exchange, it can just continue to raise your vibration, help you level up, and help you to just reach these goals that you might not have ever thought were possible, or might have been like a much further down the road kind of goal. And it just, everything gets sped up in the best way because you have that support, that foundation that's just, you know, helping you along your journey.
Yeah. And I always tell people, sometimes asking for help is not about you. It's not about like your weakness or your inadequacy. It's actually an opportunity for you to uplift somebody else and empower somebody else. Because if you can be really intentional and specific with the way that you ask for help, you get to help somebody else be in their zone of genius, be in their authority, right? Like, I can choose my own style. I can dress myself. I can like figure out something that expresses my personality. But when I invite you into that process and let you live in your authority and your zone of genius, you benefit my life, but also I like it amplifies your connection to your gift and your connection to what brings you joy and what brings you fulfillment in life. So that's something that I really work with my clients on, is like reframing what asking for help and what asking support actually is. It's not just about you meeting a deficiency in yourself. In fact, more often than not, it's not about that. It's more about empowering everybody else in your community to like to step more fully into their authority.
Oh, I love that. Like I'm writing that down for myself like right now. Just that simple reframe of asking for help and uplifting someone else. That's really, really beautiful. And I feel my brain rewiring like right now, as in real time in this conversation, and I'm grateful for it and I love it. I know that something else that you are just the expert on right now is soul care. And it's, you know, it's different from self-care. You know, self-care, we hear it all the time. It's like self-care can mean a variety of things, blah, blah, blah. But soul care, it immediately, again, just like dream doula, like your way with words, Candace, I love it. I love it so much. But soul care, like I feel it in my body. Like my body just automatically is like, yes, like I want that. I want to take care of myself beyond just that self-care level. Can you explain that method, you know, and just what brought you to the development of soul care?
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you're having a visceral reaction to soul care, because I do too. And I think that's like one of the main distinguishing differences between soul care and self-care. I have had a very long journey with mental health challenges, ranging from anxiety, depression, suicide ideation, suicide attempts. And what I realized, you know, in hindsight and also during the journey, is I always was well-resourced. I always had a community that loved me. I always had people around me that were celebrating me and affirming me. I went to a private middle school and high school, so I had access to a ton of resources. Yet I was still in pain, and I was still sick mentally, and I was still emotionally, like, had just a lot of distress. And I didn't understand. I was like, what? But why? Right? Like, I have everything in theory, like I have all these resources around me. And so I think my awareness to that, like I kind of put a pin in it. I was like, at some point, this is going to make sense, like that, mm-hmm. that distinction. And I've now understood that that's the difference between self and soul care, right? Self care is all of those resources, and we can see it. It's a commodified industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with it. I love self-care. I took a bubble bath last night with dried rose petals that I've been drying under the moon. A couple of moon cycles had gone by and I've been drying them. And I was like very excited to get my bath bomb, my bubble bath, my rose petals. Like, don't get me wrong. There's something beautiful about self-care. But what I understood is it treats a symptom. It doesn't treat like the root cause of the challenge or the struggle or the illness. And so I was like, okay, great. Now that I understand that, I can stop this cycle of buying into the commodity. Because what happens if you don't have an awareness, you buy, you spend, and you become the product, right? Like we don't realize we are the thing that perpetuates this system if we don't have that awareness. But when I took my self-care and said, okay, no, but what does my soul actually need? What's that dimension of, like, my soul was in anguish because I wasn't listening to myself, because I was trying to fit a pathway that was laid out for me. And it was a beautiful pathway. There's nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't mine. It wasn't the one that was going to allow me to be my full, expansive, authentic self. And the one that is, I have to off-road quite a bit. I have to draw outside the box. I have to color outside the lines, design something that has literally never been made. I'm seeing the image of the magician card in the tarot, which I call like the great alchemist of the tarot. It's like making something out of nothing. Anytime that comes up, I'm like, yes, I love that for you. Love that for me, right? Card. Yes, it's so good. And and like understanding that my pathway is alchemy, is making something out of nothing. That's not everybody's path. Some people are good to like take the resources around them and build something with a framework that already exists, with a map that already exists. And that's not my path. But I think trying to force myself into the predetermined pathways created a level of anguish that was feeding my mental health struggles. So soul care was like, what is my unique purpose here? What are the layers of that purpose? And how can I nourish that vision? How can I nourish those needs, those values and desires that are very unique to me? And I always use the metaphor, like looking at the back of your hand. We always say, oh yeah, I know that like the back of my hand. But when you look down at the back of your hand and you see the amount of details and intricacies and like fine details that there are, you understand how vast that level of intimacy is, how vast that level of knowingness is. And I want to understand myself to that degree. And that's what soul care is, like knowing myself that intimately, knowing that many nuances and complex details about myself that I can get hyper specific with how I lead my life, how I treat myself, how I feed myself, spiritually and physically. That's soul care.
Wow. And I think your description comparison of, you know, knowing yourself like the back of your hand and then actually taking the time to look at it and study it is so spot on with how we think we know ourselves. You know, if we're like, oh yeah, I know myself like the back of my hand. And then you look at the back of your hand, and you're like, huh, I didn't realize that this was here, that like I had that birthmark or that scar there. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. I know that. I feel like it's the same thing. When you take the time to really go inward and ask yourself what your needs are truly, and then following through with it, right? Like following through beyond just a day, a week, you know, however long that phase goes, really committing to it. Because when we take the time to get to know our needs, what our soul is really desperately crying out for, and how that manifests in different ways, like, you know, mental health issues or physical health issues, taking the time to sit with that. Wow, that's really powerful.
Yeah, and I love that you said, like, the commitment to it is so important. And that's, again, why I decided to be a dream doula, because it can be really hard to commit to ourselves in the way that our society is structured. I've created a framework of soul care that is iterative. You never stop using it. You can get introduced to it, you know, in the work with me. Many of my clients stay on long term, but like, even if you don't, you leave with this framework that you can cycle through on your own, over and over and over again and rediscover yourself, right? Like every single time I look down at my hand, I notice something new. And that's what I want the process, the experience of soul care to be like for my community. I want us to feel compelled to go back into self-exploration. Yeah. Because you know you're going to discover something else that's going to like blow your mind about yourself, right? Yeah. If it's okay, I would love to share the framework just so that
this community has
access to. Okay, beautiful. So the first layer I've been kind of mentioning quite a bit is that self-discovery and self-exploration. And it's really with the desire to form and deepen the level of intimacy that we have with ourselves. And when I'm working with clients, I do this through the lens of intuitive tools. So I use natal charts. I use tarot. I use guided meditation. I use prayer and just general psychic downloads. I'm like, where did that random thought come through? Sometimes literally in my dreams, like I'll get shown something and I'm like, I dreamed about X, Y, and Z last night. And they're like, that's my dad's favorite like bird. And I'm like, what? You know, how did that happen? So it's a very playful, I call it like a playground, a soul care playground that we navigate together, but with the goal of just understanding more about yourself, bringing more of you to the surface so that you can sift through and govern your life with. And then the second layer of this framework is then having self-derived, soul-aligned strategy. Sometimes a lot of us are like great strategists, but the way that we approach cultivating strategy is extrinsically motivated or externally influenced, and it's not from the inside out. So it's not, I always guide people toward what are your needs, what are your values, and what are your desires? Those are like the three anchors for your lived experience. So infrequently are we making strategy from that point, right? It's like, this person needs X, Y, and Z. I know all of my clients that are parents, it's like the needs of everybody else, right? They're like, but maybe you just throw maybe one of your needs in the mix and we just add that into the strategy. It could be wild, you know, right? Or what are your core values? You're sitting here taking a job because of money, sure, but like you could also find a job to bring yourself money that aligns with your values. It's not that challenging, but you do have to know what those values are and be holding them up as you're exploring this opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. And then those desires, our needs and our values are the bare minimum, right? Like I'll use myself. The minute I started to center my desires for like sensuality and for effervescence is one of my core desires right now. My life started to get so majestic.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, this is exciting, right? Like it becomes this adventure when you start creating strategy and action taking and a game plan based on what your soul needs and values and desires. And then this last layer of the framework is self-celebration and affirmation. And I tell people this is like the launch pin, right? Like you get on the board and you're like, okay, I've got my self-intimacy and self-exploration work done. I've got my strategy in place. And then I start to celebrate myself and I start to affirm myself and acknowledge myself. And I just launch into the stratosphere. And I think very few people are utilizing that superpower. And we're feeling stuck and we're like, I'm doing everything right. Like I have the game plan. I'm organized. But you're not pouring into yourself, right? Like self-confidence is a transactional experience. You have to give yourself proof that you deserve, right? You deserve it, but you have to give yourself that proof. You have to pour into yourself in order to earn that self-trust. And that comes from acknowledging your strengths and your qualities and affirming those strengths and qualities so that you can then take the actions and then have this kind of like feedback loop that continuously happens. So,
wow.
you've got the soul care framework. You get to run out into the world and utilize that, but documenting that, having that as a reference point in my day-to-day experience has changed the game for me.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it so much. I feel like the celebrating part is something that comes and goes for me personally with my business, where I'll be really great about it. I'll be like, I am celebrating every win, like everything I'm feeling good about, I'm going to celebrate. And then things like start exploding for me in a good way. And then I think I get really caught up in the busy and the what's next, what's next, what's next, that the celebration gets put on the back burner. Is that something that you've noticed with a lot of your clients too?
1,000%. Yeah. One of my favorite rituals that I walk, pretty much every client ends up, you know, getting this ritual. So I'll share it with this community too, but it's the wins of the week email. So I have a email that gets sent to me every single Friday and it says, what are your wins of the week? Why are those wins important? And because it happens on such a frequent cadence, it forces me to find a win in everything. When my life is looking like hell, mm-hmm. I still get that email and I still want to hold myself accountable to seeing the wins in those moments, those challenges of life. So I think, like, if you can ritualize that self-celebration and not wait until you feel like you're on the mountaintop, I think it perpetuates my level of gratitude for myself as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, that was a hard week. And I still I still showed up to that thing that I thought I wasn't going to be able to get through, or I still, you know, empowered somebody when I wasn't feeling 100%, or I wasn't feeling confident, but I still gave that speech. And then I had somebody tell me how much of a difference it made in their life. So it normalizes the fact that your strengths don't disappear just because you're not feeling great, yeah. Right? Yes. It's okay. You don't have to be 100% today. Your 20% still has power and potency and potential.
I have to tell you, as soon as you said that, my solar plexus was like, that's right, Susan. Listen to what she's saying. And I was like, I know, I hear you, I'm sorry. Like, even when you're not at 100%, like, that's okay. You're not meant to be at 100% all the time. And like, whatever your best is that day is good enough. Like, that's, yep, that created a whole like full body response that real settled in and lived in my solar plexus.
Yes, your best is always your best.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, your best is always your best. I feel like I need a whole set of mantras and affirmations from this episode alone that I just need to like write out. I need like my little Candace affirmations all throughout my office. And that's going to happen.
Just a note that the affirmation deck is coming at some point.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's going to be perfection.
Yeah. It's a collaboration with someone you know and love, Aria.
Yeah.
You're coming.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm so thrilled. So it's funny, Candace, I was trying to think back to who was like our connector first, if it was Aria or if it was Kelly.
And literally. I'm
like, and it's funny because I feel like my podcast is starting to echo Aria's podcast so much because it's like, oh, and Kelly Moser, like so many episodes, but now it's like Aria Lighty, Kelly Moser. And you know, it's just, anyway, little side note there.
Drive is strong over here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love it. Like going back to just having that connection with people, you know, and having that community and having the right people in your life. Like, I am grateful for all of you for all of the ways. But I apologize, little tangent moment up right there. But going back to, you know, your whole soul care, the framework, everything, I wanted to ask about when you're asking your clients and kind of going through their needs, their wants, their desires, Do you feel like there's anything within those three categories where they struggle with the most? I know you touched on that a little bit when you mentioned how your clients who are parents just trying to bring themselves into the picture. But throughout the process, throughout your framework, what do you think is the easiest for people to do? And what do you think is more challenging?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't think I've ever been asked that. Let's think. I mean, self-celebration and self-affirmation is by far the most challenging. Yeah. And a huge kind of layer of my approach, right? Like you have the framework, but there's a way that I guide my people through it.
Absolutely.
Is creating ritual anchors, right? Like, what do you do daily? What do you do weekly? What do you do monthly? What do you do annually? What do you do quarterly? That will help you tap into all three of those layers, particularly that self-affirmation, self-celebration, because it's demonized. Mm-hmm. Like loving yourself is truly demonized. And right. I think like, I really get sad when people minimize the self-love movement and people are like, oh, but self-love, like everybody's talking about it. I'm like, no, but you don't get it. No. Like the world is structured for us to hate ourselves. Mm-hmm. So every single person who's committed to self-love and self-affirmation, like I'm like, give them all the pedestals, like just never stop talking about it. Because even still, even though we know we should love ourselves, it is so hard. So I try to make that as concrete for people as possible, right? Like I have standing calendar invites for myself that are me time or that are gratitude for self or that are, I have like one that's a monthly invite that's like bad bitch o'clock. Literally, my job when I see that calendar reminder is go in the mirror and be like, girl, you are it. It's like my Issa Rae moment. I'm like, you are all that and a bad tips. I'm obsessed with you. Like everything about, and it's hard. I'm a person who is very, very self-confident. I'm a person who does have these regular practices and rituals of affirming myself. And I get in the mirror and sometimes it's hard for me to look at myself in the eyes. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm in a low moment. I'm like, fuck, I don't want to say this, but I make myself do it because I've made this commitment to myself already. So, you know, making these things ritual, like concrete, tangible rituals is, I would say that's the hardest layer of it, right? We get it on a like philosophical level. I get I should go through these three things, but how do I make that real for myself? That is one of my gifts. Like, okay, now we have an activity for you to do that's going to help you explore yourself. That's going to help you uncover what you need and what you value and what you desire. It's not hard work, but doing the work is the hardest part.
Oh, absolutely. Like, like that's like therapy, right? You can go to your appointment, you can talk about whatever you need to talk about. But then when the session's over, if you're not doing the work, then nothing's going to change. I feel like it's very similar. I mean, all inner work, you know, whether it's with a dream doula, coach, therapist, it's all about actually committing to it, going through it, and making it part of your routine, your lifestyle, because that's how the changes have to occur. I love that you have bad bitch o'clock calendar invite on your phone. I'm like, I feel like we all need that.
We do. Put it on your calendar monthly. Bad bitch o'clock.
Yeah, especially, you know, trying to time that with even like thinking about my menstrual cycle too, and trying to time it in a way where I might not be feeling as much of like a bad bitch and need that little bit of, you know, a little zhuzh in that direction. That could be tremendously, tremendously helpful. I don't know if you're familiar with the book, The High Five Habit by Mel Robbins. Have you read that one?
No, I haven't.
So I kept hearing about it and I was like, high five habit. Like, I don't know. That sounds, I was critical. I was judgmental. which is terrible, but I'm just going to be
honest. We all are in our own ways.
Right. Because I love a self-help book. I love it. Like I love self-help podcasts, self-help books. They're one of my favorite genres, but I kept hearing about it and I was like, all right, well, I like Mel Robbins. Like, why don't I just give this a try? And in the book, she has you commit to doing a challenge where you actually high five your reflection. every day. I forget like what the length is. I read it some time ago, but, and you do it, and it has, she talks about like all of the neurological shifts that happen, the emotional shifts that happen within you, whether you want to do it or not, you know, you start your day, you're like, okay, look at yourself in the mirror, make eye contact and like actually touch the mirror. Like she doesn't recommend slamming it like a real full on powerful high five, but like, you know, just be like, hey, mirror, reflection, self, high five. We're doing okay. You know, we're doing great, like whatever it is. And so when you're talking about bad bitch o'clock and having your Issa Rae moment where you're just like, yeah, like really talking yourself up, it reminded me of a way cooler version of, you know, high-fiving your reflection. But obviously, if you're not at the point where you can really just amp yourself up in the mirror, starting out like something smaller might be a
yes, I love that.
Easier way to get into it. But
I love that you mentioned that too, because as I think about the show Insecure, where that reference comes from, like she doesn't start glorifying herself and like it's a journey, and she first meets herself in the mirror like, bitch, what are you doing? Like, get it together, right? So you can approach this and really meet yourself where you are. It doesn't have to be like, this is why I love the soul care work, like personalizing it to yourself. Yeah. It's our journeys are all going to be distinct, but you can use that the shell of the framework and say, okay, what does bad bitch o'clock mean to me right now?
Yes.
It's like, okay, you're here in your sweats, but you're here.
Exactly.
You showed up. I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. And like, do I love what I see in the mirror right now? Nope. Right. There were periods of my life where I hated myself. Mm-hmm. Like truly, 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 I wanted to be anybody but me. Wow. And as painful as it was, like part of why I got through that is the honesty that I had with myself. I wasn't being like, you know, there's somebody else within you. I wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
I know that's true now, but I wasn't there. And I let myself be exactly where I was. And that level of honesty and integrity in the relationship that I had with myself allowed me to then properly advocate for myself and properly seek support, right? Like I could go to somebody and use the language, I hate myself and I don't want to feel this way anymore. What can I do? And I wasn't coming in saying like, oh, sometimes I'm good. No, all the time I'm not good. Help.
Yeah. And that level of self-recognition and then being able to communicate that is so important and it's so needed. And just acknowledging where you are in that moment. And like you said, rather than kind of being wishy-washy about it and be like, oh yeah, sometimes I have these feelings, but like, I'm fine. Like, I'm fine. You're not fine. You know? And the sooner you can say, I'm not fine. Like, I'm not okay. I need help. That's really like the big moment of growth that happens.
You know, I have a client that I've been working with for about a year now. And we have had like this beautiful journey that's been up and down and like a tilt-a-whirl at moments. There was a moment recently that was so profound. We had kind of gotten to a game plan that was soul aligned. We were starting the initial steps of that game plan and she started to feel resistance in the process. And she held that resistance up and we started to press through it. And then she came back and she held that resistance up again. And then we realized that her needs had shifted. Mm-hmm. And so like, yes, that original strategy that we created together aligned with her values and aligned with her desires in the past. Her needs have shifted. Her mental and emotional and social needs had shifted. And so we had to pivot. And it was because she was able to be so honest with herself. And then as a result, honest with me, that we shifted plans. And when I tell you, we like made a new plan and she was like coming back into a low place and I could hear it in her voice and I could see it in the way that she was kind of navigating life. And 2 weeks after we made that shift to the game plan, she's back on top.
Wow.
She's affirming herself. She literally started one of the call and just said, like, I have to celebrate myself because, and I literally almost flew out of my chair because that's something I usually, like, I bake into my process at the end of every single coaching call and by saying, okay, and now what would you like to affirm yourself based on what you've experienced in this session? So the fact that she was coming into this and started off the call celebrating herself without any prompting.
Yeah.
And I knew it stemmed from this fact that she empowered herself, right? Like, I don't believe that we're here to empower one another. I believe that we're here to hold space for someone else to empower themselves and to uplift themselves. And, you know, through the partnership that we had established in this relationship, she was able to get herself back on track with what she's desiring, what she values, and what she needs. But it took being incredibly honest with herself and then with me to get there.
Wow. Wow. I love that. Just being able to hold space for someone, giving them the permission to step into that power, you know, to step in and be like, yeah, you know what? Despite everything that I've learned growing up, everything that's been thrown at me from society, I'm going to celebrate me. And I'm going to love me, you know, and all of those things that, you know, you help your clients to achieve. It's just, it's a gift. It's truly a gift. Like talking about, you know, the gift that you have as, you know, this incredible coach, but then the gift that you're giving, like an actual gift to your clients and just being able to really express that love for themselves. That's so special. It's so unique. And I am grateful for it. I'm grateful to just experience you in this way and hearing about the work that you're doing. It's really amazing.
It feels like a gift to me too. Again, like I said, asking for support, it gives people space to step in their authority and their power and see themselves for the unique, special, beautiful human beings that they are. And so I always call my clients client partners. I'm very intentional about that language because we partner each other. They help me become better. They help me become stronger in who I am. And they help me deepen my connection to my gifts and deepen my connection to my skills and strengths. So I equally feel grateful. I'm like, wow, this is my life. This is so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And having that kind of alignment and joy in your life, going back to, like, you know, the making sure that your values are really present when you're choosing your job. It's like, it's more than just about making money. It's about your values and what's important to you. And when you're meeting those values, when your job is satisfying those needs, that's when work feels healing and it feels like receiving a gift, like having that partnership with your clients. That's it's incredible. Thank you for sharing all of that with me, with us. Candace, how can people find you? How can they work with you? Share all the things with us, please.
Awesome. Well, I just first and foremost want to thank you and everybody who's listening to this episode for holding space for this conversation. It is part of, like, my revolutionary calling to hold space and cultivate communities that are talking about these kind of things. I think this is part of the latest, like, paradigm shift where we're navigating and normalizing that we're not broken, normalizing that there's nothing wrong with us. We just get to explore how to meet those needs, values, and desires creatively and on a soul level. Like, that is the society I want to live in. And, you know, all of us creating space, creating sacred space for this is part of the work. So I'm incredibly grateful for everyone to, you know, sticking in for this conversation. It just feels so special. But yeah, for folks who are interested in, you know, doing the soul care work, having the layers of accountability built into it, having that interdependence and partnership, the best way to kind of start their journey is through my soul care roadmap session. It's 48 hours in a one-to-one, like, co-created portal where we walk through the layers of that soul care framework. And we really look at who you are. We pull to the surface all of your unique gifts, all of your strengths, and some of the karmic challenges that you might be like, you feel deep down in you, like, why do I keep experiencing this? If I had a dollar for every, you know, aha moment where I'm like, oh, I've been fighting my nature. I've been fighting myself and I want to stop doing that. And I find these intuitive tools that empower me to see myself clearly enough to stop those patterns of behavior that's not supporting me. It's just gold when you have those moments. So that's kind of the first layer of it. And then we build out a strategy for cultivating a lifestyle that supports what you need, value, and desire, and integrates that self-affirmation and celebration and this kind of like 48-hour portal. It's all asynchronously done. We're in an app called Boxer. We go back and forth. We're chatting. It's like so playful and creative. And the ahas that people have in this, I'm like, wow, this is so fun. Like just letting people see themselves, having a mirror that really helps them to see the value in exactly who they are. You are not broken. There is nothing to fix. You just get to work with yourself and become that divine partner to yourself as well. So that's the best way to kind of start the work. And then we can expand from there if people are seeking more. And for listening to this beautifully long episode, I'm gonna gift your people $100 off of that experience. $297, but it'll be $197 for all of your folks until the price goes up, because Spirit's been nudging me on that. I'm like, I'm not ready, but I am ready. But I am ready. It's time. So it'll be $97 for your folks with your promo code.
Wow. Thank you so, so much. That's incredibly generous. And I mean, I know it's only a matter of time before I'll be working with you as well, because I just
can't wait.
And I'm so excited for my audience to be able to connect with you too, because you're amazing. You do amazing work. And I'm sure that people are just going to be diving right into that before this episode's even over. So
I love it. And then just stay in contact. I'm Candace the Dream Doula on social channels, or Candace Taylor on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I'm obsessed. And www.candacethedreamdoula.com is where you can find all things that are going on in my orbit.
Awesome. And everything will be linked in the show notes. So it'll be really easy for everybody to find all of those amazing links. Candace, thank you so very much for being here today. It was truly, I could talk to you forever. I just love chatting with you, and thank you for sharing everything today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. The best way to support this podcast is to subscribe and leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts.